It's the 11th of January, Sunday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. So I thought I'd make this tape, and although I'm a little late, as I usually am in writing letters or this kind of thing, at least I am getting it done. I think this is a pretty long one, so I don't know if I'll be able to fill it all up without boring you all to tears, but I'll give it a try. So, hi, Elsie and Doc and Warren Jr., and I am at Tansanute Air Force Base in Saigon. I don't know if you've ever been here or not, Doc. It's not a very exciting or really a very nice place. I'll start this thing out with telling you how I got here, or when I left the States and so forth. It was Thanksgiving, as you know, and I got into Travis about 4 in the afternoon, just about enough time to catch my plane to leave. We left at 6 and flew straight through. It was a commercial airliner that was chartered with commercial crew and everything flying it. I think it was TWA. I'm not real sure who it I don't really remember who it was. And the flight over was fairly pleasant. It was on a Boeing 707, and it was all filled with military independents, and I imagine you all have been that route before, so that's not anything new to you. But we got into Clark the next morning at 5 o'clock, or 5:30 with the time change, and I stayed there for about a week while I went to Jungle Survival School. And I know you've been to the Philippines and you know all about it, but I found it real interesting and I enjoyed the school. The Air Force Jungle Survival School there is kind of a gentleman's school, and they don't press you or anything to, you know, you pretty much do what you want to as far as, what I'm trying to say is they don't bust you out if you don't do things exactly like they want. But went to school for, 3 days in class, and then the last 2.5 days of the school were out in the field, and they drive you out in the jungle with on Air Force buses to a command post area, and from there they take you by helicopters to your separate camps, and they break you up into little groups of about 14 guys and give you a poncho and a blanket and a mosquito net, and we had machetes and stuff like that too, and an axe. So we went out and built ourselves little shelters, and had sea rations to eat, and we had one Air Force instructor, and then they had a Negrito that the Air Force has hired to help out in teaching us about the jungle. So we set up a camp and slept in that the first night. The second day, we played games out in the jungle a little bit, and the Negrito was taught us a little bit about escape and evasion and hiding in the jungle and this sort of thing, and he went out and hid, and we went and tried to find him, and me and a F-100 pilot that was going to Phan Rang, I think, or someplace. Anyway, we found the guy. We tracked him down and found him, and then after that, we broke up into pairs, and half of us went and hid, and the other half hunted us, and we did that for the rest of the morning. A big game of hide and seek, but it was fun anyway, and I thoroughly enjoyed that part of the thing. I was always been kind of leery about the jungle because I'd never seen it or anything, and you know, snakes and so forth, and but I was surprised. It's not an awful lot different from other kinds of woods, except maybe a little thicker and a little rougher, more rugged, and different kind of animals. But I really enjoyed being you know, staying out there, and I think I kind of like that sort of thing, camping and so forth anyway, and that was a lot of fun. The second night that we were out, the Negritos cooked us a meal using just rice and food that was grown in the jungle, some roots and old stalks and this kind of stuff that they cut and cooked, and they cooked it all in bamboo utensils that they made right there. They cut the things and cut little notches in, poured the rice in and a little bit of water, and then put it back together and threw the whole mess in the fire. And it was really quite good when it came out, and fairly tasty. and certainly filling. It sure was starchy, but we learned how to get water out of the jungle and the water trees, and that was kind of an amazing thing, because I don't know if you've ever seen them before or not, or how they do it, but they have water trees, or what they call water trees. That's not their real name, but that's what we call them. And you cut a notch in the bark, and at night, water runs out of this that's in the root system of the trees. And we collected about 20 gallons in a poncho, ran out of this one tree during the night. And the water's excellent to drink, and has real good taste, and it's pure and everything. So that was kind of interesting. Then they showed us how to get water out of vines and bamboo and all that kind of stuff. Then the next morning, they came and picked us up and took us by choppers back to the command post area again, and this was the escape and evasion portion of it. And on this, they turned us loose about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were to go out and hide in the jungle or in the elephant grass or wherever you could find a place to hide. And then at 6 o'clock, they turned the Negritos loose, and they came to try and find us. And so that gave us a 2-hour head start, and we had little chits on us. And every time a Negrito found you, or we had 3 of them, you gave him a chit, and he in turn could get 5 pounds of rice. So they were looking for us pretty good. This 100 pilot that I was telling you about before, we figured we could go out and hide, and they couldn't find us, and because we found the guy before, and we were fairly at home in the woods. So we teamed up, and we went out and found us a thick patch of brush and grass and stuff, and dug our way in there and covered up the end and everything. And we were dug in so deep and so tight in this stuff that once we were laying down, we couldn't hardly move. And so they never did find us. The guys came by us and shined lights in there, and we just laid real still, covered up by a blanket, and they never did catch us during the night. And we thought they were going to step on us a couple times, but we did manage to keep clear of them. And I laid kind of a funny thing happened. They have these rats out there that I'm sure, jungle rats that I'm sure you're familiar with. They're pretty big, and in that area, they're quite prevalent. And there was a lot of them around, and some of the guys had trouble with the darn things, but we were kind of, they told us about these, and few people had been bitten before, 3 or 4 of all the ones that had gone through the school, not very much, but many, but a few had anyway. So we were all kind of thinking about these and snakes and stuff, you know, laying there in the grass. And I fell asleep, and about 5 o'clock or something, and the other guy was there, and I guess I was snoring. Anyway, he reached over and he tapped me when one of the Negritos was coming by to wake me up, because I was snoring and he thought the guy would find us. And I must have jumped 3 feet straight up, because I thought one of those rats had run over my arm. But as it turned, and the worst part about it is I laid there the rest of the night, because we didn't dare talk or somebody would hear us. I laid there the rest of the night thinking that a rat had run over me, and I just knew that a couple more were going to get me. So, but that was about the only excitement. Then in the morning, the choppers came around. We set off flares, and they picked us up. They don't land. They lower their pickup device, and you get on that, and they pull you up into the chopper, and you go on back. And like I say, it's a gentleman's school. You could get as much out of it as you wanted to or as you put into it. And if you didn't really want to go hide or anything or try to keep from getting caught, nobody cared, and they took the attitude that what you learn is for your own good, so do what you want to do. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think I learned a lot about it, and it sure helped to make me a little more familiar with the kind of country that we have around here, because the country in a good part of Vietnam is exactly the same as in the mountains in the Philippines. And I was surprised at how rugged it is, but I was also surprised at how easy it is. You could get along in it, you know, if you had to. I guess I'd seen too many Tarzan movies, and it's not like quite like that at all, as you know. Well, after we completed the school, we went, took us on back, and the next morning, then my plane left for for Vietnam and flew directly into Saigon. And when I got here, I hadn't heard from a sponsor or anything, so I didn't know if anybody was going to meet me or anything, but I did call over here from the Philippines and told the squadron I was coming, and they had a guy down there to meet me, and he brought me back and got me set up in a room and everything. The barracks, the BLQs were full at the time, so I used a guy's room that was TDY to Thailand until a room opened up and I got my own. And that was about a week. And the rooms that we have here are, the squadron has several buildings that we use just for our squadron people. And they're not nice by any means, but they're air conditioned and they're old buildings that were built by the French when they were here. And they're sturdy cement or concrete buildings and so forth, which is kind of nice in another respect, in the fact that they're cool and they're also fairly safe from explosions and this kind of thing. We don't get many, but every night we did have one rocket attack since I've been here. The VC lobbed five rockets on the base, and none of them were close to the area that I was in, but this BLQ that we're in does afford a reasonable amount of protection anyway, which is a kind of a comforting thought. I guess I got here on Saturday, yeah, and then Sunday I cleared the base. Well, I used the next week to clear the base because I didn't have anything else to do. They had a ground school I had to go through, and it started Saturday morning, so I was too late for that, and I had to wait till the next Saturday. So the first week I was here, I just spent messing around and getting acquainted with the base and so forth. And this base is a huge thing. There's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, ARVN, VNAF, everything imaginable on this base. And the thing is really crowded and noisy and dirty. And it's not, but compared to some of the other bases in Vietnam, why, it has a lot of things, so can't really complain. I don't particularly like the base, but as I said, it's better than being a lot of other places, and it is fairly secure. Like I say, we don't have many of the rocket attacks or that kind of thing that most of the bases do, or not most, but some of them do. Some of them get hit at least once a week and sometimes oftener, and we only get hit about 3-4 times a year, so it's kind of nice. I got checked out finally last week. It takes about a week of ground school or so, and about a week and a half after you start ground school, you start your first flights, and you get checked out on your seventh or eighth mission is your check ride. Fly with an instructor in the first six missions, and then on the seventh I got checked out, and I've flown, I guess, two by myself now. The missions themselves as to what we're doing is classified. We fly the old Goonie Bird, C-47 Douglas Racer, at generally about 4,000 feet above the ground, and our missions are long. They last 7 hours, and navigator works his fanny off, unfortunately, a good part of the time. So it does make the time, one good thing is that it makes the time go fast, and otherwise, a seven-hour mission would really be tough to take in that airplane. It's kind of fun in some ways in that we fly with the back door off of the airplane and just straps there so we can sit there and look out the back door sometimes when things are dull and watch the ground war going on and watch the airstrikes and watch the fighters and bombers drop their bombs and artillery and so forth. And this is all kind of interesting because we can do it from a safe distance. I don't think it'd be much fun if I was on the ground, but from where we're at, it is fairly interesting. And there's not nearly the amount of activity now that there used to be, but there still is to some extent a war going on. I'm not very much involved in it, of course, but the people on the ground are in some parts of the country. I run into an amazing number of people that I know over here. In fact, some people that were real good friends of mine years and years ago that I haven't seen in 5, in some cases 10 years, popped up all of a sudden. And there must be 10 or 15 guys that I've been stationed with before, well, at least that many on this base. And that's kind of nice. One of my very best friends from Harlingen and Waco, Walt Picorni is, I don't know if you ever met him or not, but anyway, he's stationed here. And there's a couple guys from Warren and two guys from Larson, one that I flew with a couple times. It was in the 4th Squadron, but I didn't know him real well. He got there shortly before I left, Gene Millspaugh. And another guy that I knew real well at Larson, in fact, I gave him his instruction when he first got there and helped get him checked out, and that was Jim Carpenter, and he's in the squadron with me here, too. So I do know a lot of people here, and that kind of makes it more interesting. Well, I guess this side of the tape is just about gone, so I'll turn it over now and start on the other side.